It has been my privilege the last few years to meet many of you who are seeking to raise families for the Lord. And I believe with my whole heart that there are many of you, your presence here, in fact, would lead me to believe that you want to raise your families to please the Lord Jesus. What a lovely thing it is to want to lead our families into that which is of Christ. What Christian parent would not desire for their family, but that at the end of their journey, under our roof, so to speak, that they, our children, would continue on in their lives as faithful to His name. I'd like to look initially at the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, the first chapter. First Samuel chapter 1 and verse 28. Hannah speaking here, I believe. And it says, "Therefore also I have lent him," that is Samuel, "to the Lord." Is it not our desire that when our children get old enough to leave our homes, to see them want to go on pleasing to the Lord Jesus? Now I'd like to look this afternoon at a well-known chapter in the book of Genesis. We've enjoyed it before many, many times in a little different type, but I wonder if the Scripture would lend to us a type of the family. And that is Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. The first verse, and it says, "And it came to pass after these things." Now, I believe when Scripture has a comment or a clause where it says, "after these things," perhaps it would be instructive to look what comes before. Because when it says that something is coming after, and it says that it happened after these things, I believe it is worth our while to go back and see what has come before. So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's go back to the 21st chapter, and we'll find there in the second verse, it says that Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Here we have a new child born into a family. And this child is to be named Isaac. So we have the family. We have the family started. Isaac is born. Now let's go over a way in that same chapter. And go over perhaps to the 27th verse. "And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, For these 7 ewe lambs shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they swear, both of them." A new little baby has been born into this family. A new beginning, a new life. I can remember when I first brought my first child home from the hospital. I have to confess to you that I really wasn't sure how to raise that child. I knew I loved the child, but I knew that I needed guidance, and don't we all need guidance? How innocent, how tiny, how fragile that little child seems when we bring it home. A child to raise for the Lord Jesus. What a privilege. Do we count it a privilege? A privilege to raise our children for the Lord Jesus? Is it something that you and I really want to do? What a privilege for God to have given us children to raise for Him. Now we find that they've digged a well. Abraham has digged a well. The well, I believe, would speak to us of that which is of the Word of God. Dear parent, have you dug your well? Are you seeking to dig out of the Scriptures that which would be of the water of the Word of God? When you bring that little one home from the hospital, after it's born or wherever it was born, as you bring that little child home, do you want to bring water out of that well to give it drink? Do you want it to thirst? Do you want it to drink of the things of Christ? It's important, you know. I believe that it's the thing to do early on, to read to our children, even though they can't understand us. You know, we really don't know when children begin to understand what we say. But we do believe that the child, no matter how small, seems to have some concept that the parent is talking to it. The world speaks of bonding. And I believe that there is some truth in this. And let me ask you, if reading the Scriptures to the very young child is not that which brings bonding. I don't believe we can start too early to bring before our children the Scriptures. To bring the water out of the well and to give them to drink. And I believe that it's important for them to know that it's not something that we make ourselves bring out of the well. Do they see in us the desire? Do they see in us that we want to drink of this water ourselves? Do they see that we want that water ourselves? You know, if they see that that's something that we want, then it's likely to be something that they will want too. If they see that we don't like it or that we have little use for it or little room for it, don't be surprised if they have little room for it in their lives either. Dig the well and give them the water of the Word of God. I believe it's important to establish the household on the Word of God, the pure Scriptures, and to have that as our foundation. Because, you see, if we go to the 34th verse, we find that it says Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. I believe it's essential that the home be established on the Word of God. Because Abraham dwelt in the Philistines' land. And what does the Philistine speak to us of? Well, I believe that others have expressed it better than I, but I like the thought that the Philistines represent the intrusion of man into the things which be of God. And we see it around us, don't we, dear parent? We see around us so much those who are trying to bring into the things of God, that which is of man. to dilute, if you will, the very basic truths of God, the very issues, the very truths which we read in Scripture. There are those who would seek to dilute it with other things. Those that they think are right, or those that they see no Scripture for. But if what is taught is not according to the Word of God, dear parents, then you should have an exercise about whether it should come into your home. Now notice something here. If I am correct, I think that Abraham and his family may have been the only ones here who were walking according to the Word of God. Do you feel isolated, dear parent? Do you feel as if in the walk that you have, you feel isolated? Do you live far from someone else? Abraham was far from someone else too. It says he sojourned in the land of the Philistines. And it may be that you, parents, are distant. I know some who may drive 2 or 3 hours just to get to meeting. And you may feel the distance. But God notices that too. And He wants you just as much as anyone else to draw water out of that well, and that that water remain pure. That it might not be diluted. That there may not be the intrusion of that which is of man in the flesh into that which is of God. Keep that which you teach your children pure. Pure. The pure water of the Word of God. Now I believe that if we look through this chapter, we find that as the 21st chapter comes to a close, we find that that Abraham has that which pertains to the world around him in order. He seems to be sojourning in that land, but it seems to be in order. Abimelech now has been taken care of, and I believe that from this chapter on to the time when Abraham dies, we find that much or most of that which pertains to Abraham's life has to do with his family. And so it is that we find in chapter 22, and it came to pass after these things. After what things? After the family has been established, after the well has been dug, and after Abraham has been very careful to not let other things come in to alter the pure Word of God, and after things are in order with the things around him. Let me ask you, dear parents, with the stresses of work, with the stresses of all there is to do these days, Abraham had time for his family. Does it seem as if today it's so difficult, so very difficult to find time to sit down with your family, to read to them, to be with them, to enjoy their company? Do you fathers recognize the importance of your place in the home? Do you recognize that not only do you set the tone for your home, but do you recognize that you are responsible for what goes on in that home? You need time for this. You need time for this. And may I raise the question that if things are so pressing in this world, so that you don't have time for the things of your home, may I respectfully suggest that you get on your knees before the Lord and ask Him to help you with that. You do have a responsibility, parents, fathers, that which goes on in your home is that which is commendable to God. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. I've had the question asked to me, And I had the question for some years myself. If all was in order, then why would God tempt Abraham? The word here, I believe, is tempt, is in the sense of try or prove. And I'd like to turn to a verse in James, which was a help to me in understanding this. In James, the first chapter, the third verse, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I believe that God wanted to bless Abraham in a special way. He wanted him to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And see, he sought to prove him, because he wanted something good for Abraham. Dear Christian parent, does it seem as if you're doing everything right and trial still comes into your life? God wants it for your blessing. He wants to let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, that you may be mature. God wants us to teach us lessons in the wilderness pathway. So don't be alarmed when God brings in provings for us. We need to seek His guidance. But don't be alarmed. Don't be discouraged. If God wanted to bring this proving time into Abraham's life, don't think that He won't bring it into your life. But as He wanted it to come into Abraham's life to bless him and to learn more of God's ways, don't think it strange that He might bring that into your life, so that He might bring blessing into your life and that you might learn His ways. Now it's the first verse. God did tempt Abraham, and He said unto him, Abraham, God spoke to Abraham. Do you hear God speaking? Does God speak to you? I believe that He does, Christian parent. I believe that He does speak to you. And I think that when God speaks, there are three ways in which we are in His presence of speaking. The first is that we can hear and do. The second might be that we can hear and not do. And the third might be that one might be in such a state of soul that he does not hear. But Abraham heard and said, "Behold, here I am." What a lovely thing it is to listen to the voice of God and to present yourself as responsible before Him. And He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." I believe that there is only one thing that God, that the Spirit of God brings before us with what Abraham had in connection with his son, and that's love. Dear Christian parent, do you love your children? Do you love your children? How much do they mean to you? Do you really, deep down, love your children? What a precious thing it is that God has given to us parents' children. Do we really love them? God could look down on that household and He could say to Abraham, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest." Does He see in your relationship with your children? Does He see in that relationship that which speaks of pure
who love.
And it says, get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Now Abraham is going to take a journey according to the word of God. And Abraham's pathway was a path of faith. We read that in Hebrews 11. It was a path of faith guided by the word of God. And so, dear Christian parent, when you bring that little child home for the first day in your home, you begin a journey. You begin a journey. And that journey should be of faith before God. And it should be guided by the word of God. If you look around, you'll see all kinds of instructions as to how to raise a family. But I suggest to you that the book that will give you the correct guidance for family raising, without fail, without mistake, is the Word of God. And to allow the Spirit of God to bring before us that which is of His Word, so that we may raise our children in the path of faith before Him. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. I enjoy the thought about the rising up early in the morning. I think it speaks to us, gives us a type, a lesson. We read of Joshua rising early in the morning too, don't we? When they were to cross the River Jordan. I think it speaks to us of the importance of getting at what God wants us to do. Do we wait till later on in the day? Well, it's easy to do that, isn't it? It's easy to wait. It's easy to want to wait and make sure, well, now maybe, what if, to ask questions. But how much better it is, as Abraham did here, to get right on what God wants us to do in the path of faith. And it says, he saddled his ass. What does the ass speak to us of? Well, I wonder if it speaks to us of those possessions which we have in this world. Brought under control so that they may be used in the path of obedience to God. Dear parent, is your ass saddled? Your possessions, are you willing to use those for what God wants you to use them for? I believe that there are three ways in which that ass might exist. Our possessions. One is that we may have the possessions and desire to use them for the Lord. We may have possessions and have no desire to use them for the Lord. Or number three, and I believe this should exercise us, we may have possessions which we cannot use for the Lord. We need saddled asses, dear parents. We need to have our possessions in control, so that we can use them in that pathway of obedience. And took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. Now you find that this pathway, this trip, this journey through life that you take with your children is not in a corner. It is before others. And in your relationships with your children, do you realize, dear parent, that others are looking at your family? What do they see? What do they see? These two men, it said, went with him, and Isaac, his son. What do others see as they look on our families? Do they see that which speaks to us of Christ? I recognize that there may be misunderstandings, but I believe that we have here brought before us that Abraham was given a command, and he sought to obey that command, and that he went on his way early in the morning. And I ask you what you think those two young men saw as the father and the son walked together. I submit to you that this was not the first time in their lives that Abraham and Isaac walked together. I submit to you that Abraham and Isaac had known each other when Isaac was a mere child. I believe, dear parent, it is very important that you establish a relationship with your children, a talking, a working, a walking relationship with your children based on the Word of God, from the time they are very, very young. Others have heard me say this, and I believe it to be true. How can we expect our children to talk to us when they become teenagers or young adults if we have not communicated with them when they were children and infants? I believe that communication starts very, very early. And I believe that this path, this walking that Abraham did with Isaac, was a result of communion between Abraham and Isaac long before. And they went unto the place which God had told them. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, the fourth verse, and saw the place afar off. Some 30 years ago, I never would have believed that the time has come so quickly that I now have only one child living with me. Four are old enough to be on their own. I still have one. And there's going to come a day, if the Lord leaves us here, when that child too will be old enough to be on her own. A three-day journey. Do you, Christian parent, recognize, do you realize that the day is going to come, if the Lord leaves you here, when your children are going to become old enough to leave the nest, and you won't have them any longer in your home to enjoy. To enjoy communion with them and to enjoy the things of Christ with them. But let me tell you something. When that time comes, the third day, the end of the testimony, witness, 3 days. You know, you look back, I look back, and I see so many things that I would have done differently. But I cannot change a single thing that I have done in the past. I cannot change a single thing. And dear parents, you with young children, you with babies, from today, be before the Lord as to what you do with those children, so that when the end of the 3 days come and they go out on their own, you will not say to yourself before God, "I wish that I had done differently." What a pleasure it is, what a privilege it is to raise those children for the Lord. Enjoy it. The time will come when you cannot enjoy it in that sense anymore because they will be old enough to be gone. And you can't change anything after that time. Now this trip would speak to us of a trip of worship, I believe. In the fifth verse, Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Dear Christian parent, do you desire that your children worship the Lord with you. There are few greater joys to me in my life than to have my children remember the Lord Jesus with me on Lord's Day morning. It's a privilege that is without words. I and the lad will go yonder and worship. We want our children to grow up to be faithful before the Lord, don't we? Sure we do. Sure we do. Do we enjoy remembering the Lord Jesus? Do we? Do our children know that we do? Is it real to you? It's an exercise, isn't it? How real is that to you, the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ? We sang in our hymn, "Our Father, we would worship." Yes, we would. We want that for ourselves. We want that for our children. But I would suggest to you that the appreciation of the worship of the name of Christ does not begin on Sunday morning. It should be an all-week thing. Abraham took the wood, the sixth verse, took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took a fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. He took the fire in his hand and a knife. I believe if you go on to the book of 1 Samuel, you'll find that the reason that Eli lost his two sons was because he did not restrain them. He did not restrain them. And you find here that Abraham carries the fire and a knife. Dear Christian parent, no matter how you love your children, no matter how much they mean to you, there are times when you're going to have to come in and tell them no. You're going to have to judge. You're going to have to, as it were, with the fire, you're going to have to discern that that is not something that they should be doing. It is true that Abraham loved his son Isaac, but it is also true that the fire was in his hand. And dear Christian parent, I believe it's a serious but an important thing to remember that sometimes the fire needs to be there. And the knife. Sometimes there are things which our children want to do or are doing which we have to say, no, you can't do that. You must remove them with the knife. I was sitting last night reading my Bible a little bit, this chapter, in the motel lobby. And there came a man to me up, he must have been about 30 years old, and he said, "That's a good book you're reading." And I said, "It sure is." And to make a long story short, this was his story. He was raised in a supposed Christian family. We got into his teenage years. He got into all of the things. He said, "I got into as deep a sin as I could get into." And he said, "Finally, the Lord saved me last February. And now I enjoy reading the things of the Word of God." He was a real pleasure to talk to. And I said to him, "What was your family like?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. I think my parents are the Lord's. I don't know for sure." But he said, "There was one thing that they didn't do. They allowed me to do things which they should not have allowed me to do. And as a result, I did things that I should not do. And it carried me into sin." Dear Christian parent, there are times when we must apply the knife too, I believe. Be careful when you apply the fire and the knife. that it be in the fear of the Lord. You wouldn't want to burn unnecessarily. You wouldn't want to hurt unnecessarily. A father will never cause his child a needless tear. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? This is touching, I believe. Do your children come to you and ask you about the things of the Lord? Do they talk to you about things which are of the Lord's? Where is the lamb? You know what Abraham said? God will provide himself a lamb. I believe that Abraham was saying to Isaac at that time, look up, Isaac, your lamb is coming. God will provide himself a lamb. And when our children come to us and ask us about those things which be of God, what a lovely thing it is to point them to the Lord Jesus and to read the Scriptures with them so that they may look on Christ, the spotless Lamb, and to enjoy together those things which be of God. Now we know so much about the rest of this. The 21st chapter told us that Abraham was a man in his old age. And I don't know how old Isaac was, but I dare say that Isaac was much stronger than his father. I was talking to Mark Bauman a little bit before this meeting, and apparently they were playing football yesterday, and he was across the line from his son. And it sounds to me like in the Bauman family, there's coming a change so that Mark's boy is becoming big enough that the boy might be a little stronger than his father from now on. And I've experienced that too, Mark. All of my boys are bigger than I am now. But here you find the communion, the obedience to the Father was such that Isaac would willingly let himself be placed on that altar and lay the wood in order and actually allow his father to take the knife to slay him. What obedience. What obedience. We know the grand type of this speaks to us, does it not, of the Lord Jesus here. What a lovely type. But I believe that it speaks to us of that pathway that Abraham and Isaac walked together. Do you talk to your children? Do you walk together with them? Do you take time with them to talk to them? If they ask you questions at 11 o'clock at night, do you say, I don't have time for that now? I know what it is to start talking at 11 o'clock at night and end up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I look back and say, thanks. What a privilege it is. The end of the pathway. And I believe that Abraham's pathway was that which, as it were, committed his son to God. And God gives him back on resurrection ground. Is that the way our children will leave our homes, dear Christian parent? Will they leave in a path of faithfulness to God on the ground of resurrection? The Lamb of God, the sacrifice, and on resurrection ground. This is what you want, I believe. The path of faith is necessary. Well, I commit to you and these few comments and the Scriptures to the Lord. I trust that He may bless them, these Scriptures, to your hearts and to your lives.